Good morning.
Good morning, Father.
So to reintroduce myself, my name is Frank Clooney, Francis Xavier Clooney. Therefore, I'm a Jesuit. I teach up in Boston at Harvard Divinity School. I do comparative work, Hindu-Christian studies. And previously, I had taught at Boston College for many years. I'm here at University of Virginia to give some lectures in October, and I'm here hanging out early on to work on the book that goes with the lectures. So I'm very happy to be invited to be part of such a wonderful parish and to be with you this morning. I'm sure that as we pray, we're mindful of many concerns in our world. The troubles here in Charlottesville 3 weeks ago, the young woman, the two officers who died during that time, that terrible time, we're mindful of them and pray for harmony. We're also mindful of the flood victims, the many people who died and have been put out of their homes in the south, in Houston, but also in places like India where 1,000 people died in recent floods. Let's keep all people in need as we pray today. And finally, let's pray that we're open to this powerful gospel. Jesus says, I am going to suffer and die before I rise. Will you come with me? Will you walk with me? And I think that's a challenge to you and me. How close do we want to be with Jesus in his ministry? Today's gospel is, of course, a kind of bookend or pair with last Sunday's gospel. You remember in that beautiful gospel, Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? And different opinions are put forward. And finally, Peter steps forward and says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds to him and says, Peter, yes, you see. And you are Peter, you are the rock on which I will build my church. And this is a glorious affirmation, of course, of Peter, who finally figures out who Jesus is, and also of his function in the church, being Peter, being the leader, being the gatherer of the community. And that, too, I think we can celebrate today. And it's also a reminder for us, what's true of Peter is true of you and me. We are all called to recognize who Jesus is, to see him as Son of God and Messiah. But it's not by accident that today's gospel follows. Peter again speaks. Jesus says, yes, I am the Messiah. Yes, I am the Son of God. Yes, I am the one you've been waiting for. And by the way, I will go up to Jerusalem. The leaders of your people will capture me, try me, condemn me, and hang me on the cross. And all of that will happen before my glory. And Peter again steps forward, and we're supposed to remember this 1 week, next week. Peter steps forward and says, Lord, this will never happen to you. I will not allow it to happen. And like many leaders of the church throughout the generations, perhaps thinking, I can control this situation. I can limit the damage. I can make sure bad things don't happen. And Jesus turns to Peter. You are the rock on whom the church was built, I just told you. Well, guess what? You're also Satan. You're a tempter. You're the one who is screwing up the church and misunderstanding who I am. And I think the point is, for Peter, don't think your faith preserves you from making mistakes. Don't think your faith allows you to know all times and all places who Jesus is. And so too for leadership in the church down through the generations. Don't think because you have this gift from God that you'll always get it right. And likewise for us, we're here on Sunday morning. We try to live the Christian life. We confess our faith in Jesus. There may be days when Jesus says to me or to you, Satan, get out of my way. You're blocking the mission of the church. The other way that this gospel follows from last week's gospel is last week Jesus said, who do people say that I am? He's getting reports. How do people see me? But today's gospel is really rooted perhaps in the first reading from Jeremiah, where Jeremiah the prophet is struggling with this mission that he has. He's struggling with the fact that everything he says is true, but he keeps getting condemned for it. And the more he speaks in God's name, the more he gets into trouble.
And he tries to keep it under control, but as it says, once in a while it bursts out and he laments. In light of that, Jesus is not asking today, who do you say that I am? Let me tell you who I am. Yes, I am the Messiah. Yes, I am your Lord. Yes, I am your teacher. Yes, I am the Son. But I am the man who's going to Jerusalem to die the worst possible death you could imagine. I am going to fail in the short run. It's not going to work out. Death will come before glory and resurrection. That's also who I am. And I think Matthew knows, in putting this gospel together, that also is a great challenge. It's one thing to say, here comes the Messiah, here comes the Christ, here comes our leader, let's all follow him. But when Jesus says, in a few months, I will be dead, crucified, and in a tomb, who's coming with me? You can imagine Peter and the others backing away. And I think there are three levels of invitation we see in this gospel about why you and I would imagine taking up our cross. If you start at the end and work back, I think it works better. The third reason is, if you take up your cross, if you do the right thing and don't avoid suffering, when Jesus comes again with his angels, he will repay you. If you avoid it, if you run the other way, if you hide your head, well, you may get punished for that. But basically, if you do the right thing, it will work out for you in the long run. You may have to suffer now, but later you will be rewarded. As it says in other gospels, you'll get the hundredfold. You'll get the rewards that God gives to those who stick by their mission. So even simply on that level, do the hard thing now, keep the faith, and later on you will have the benefits of that faith. The second reason, again moving from the end of the reading forward, Jesus makes kind of a more philosophical point that might apply in any religious tradition, Asian religions, Christianity, Judaism, and other faiths too. The rule is, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. If you're willing to let go of it in freedom, you can save it. Those who cling to their life, those who hold on to it as something to be preserved and protected, those who are always cautious, those who are always looking and saying, what's in it for me, are going to lose. You have to be willing to let go, let the whole thing go, in order to be free. He adds in the line that I mentioned at the beginning, I'm Francis Xavier, that St. Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, used to torment Francis Xavier, a student in Paris, until he finally became a Jesuit. What does it profit a person to gain the whole world if you lose your soul? Get your perspective straight. Do you want to be rich? Do you want to be powerful? Do you want all the pleasures of this world? Do you want all the glories, all the safety? Of course we want those things. Those things are not bad in themselves. But what do you really want? Are you willing to let go, follow me, take up your cross? If you're willing to die like that seed that falls into the ground, then you can be and have everything. And the final reason, the first one given, is perhaps the deepest and most profound. You might say it's a kind of mystical reason. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me if you want to be my disciple. To be a disciple, to learn from Jesus, to walk with Jesus on the road, to be one of his intimate companions, his sister or brother, who is with him in all things, do you really want to be that person? He's saying it to Peter and James and John and Mary Magdalene and the others, women there. He's saying it to all of them, but again, he's saying it to you and me. Do we want to be okay Christians? We give in order to get. Do we want to be better Christians? We're willing to risk ourselves because we know that we have to die to rise. Or are we willing to kind of foolishly throw away everything and pick up that cross and go with Jesus on his mission because we want to be with him? Jesus is the suffering servant. Jesus is the one who dies for love. And he's really saying, are there a few of you who are willing to go all the way with me and be with me in my suffering, be with me on the cross, be with me in my death, and then rise with me in eternal communion? It was a hard question for Peter. It was a hard question for the disciples. And I hope it's a hard question for me and for you. When we hear this gospel, when we hear the invitation of Jesus, will we settle for a little of Christian life, more of Christian life, or are we willing to go all the way with Jesus?